Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. This morning, as we get started, I would like for you to repeat this phrase after me. This is something we used to do before we started to preach, and I just wanted to do it again this morning. Lord, help me to be skilled in your word. Get it from my head to my heart. Bring it on down. Let's say it again. Lord, help me to be skilled in your word. Get it from my head to my heart. Bring it on down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to minister your word. Father, thank you for the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, get the head knowledge that we have into our heart, into our spirit, Lord, that we would receive the fullness of your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, Apostle Leonard is joining me. Amen. He has done a lot of study on the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the Holy Spirit and this Feast of Pentecost. And I knew he had a study, and I said to him last week, I said, hey, honey, can I look at your study that you did on Shabbat and on the Feast of Pentecost? And he said, sure. And then he said he would help me teach it. So we're just thankful for that. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to let you start because this is your study. You're the expert.
Well, this is really exciting because today is basically one of the days of the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. Well, what happened 4 or 5 days ago to America in Jerusalem? Everybody know?
Amen.
What a miracle.
You know, amen.
We established their government office in there, and basically the Jewish tradition is a couple of days off of what ours is, but what a miracle.
Amen.
What a miracle. That was definitely chosen by God of a perfect timing.
Amen.
Well, the Feast of Pentecost again and the Shavuot is this, you know, they're parallel and they're identical. And it's always about God's law, which is the old time, but now it's the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Amen.
And so in Leviticus 23:16, I don't know if it's, yes.
It should be.
It says, count 50 days
to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
Of course, this, of course, was a feast of the Shavuot. And this was the same time that Moses, we all know how many went to the movie, The Ten Commandments. It was about a 3-hour movie. It was pretty good, wasn't it? Well, that was the same time he ascended to Mount Sinai and met with God about 40 days, wasn't he? And the people said, where is he? We're going to start doing our own thing. In Exodus 3:3, then Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why does thy bush not burn? In verse 4 it says, so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Well, so God was a God of fire back then, wasn't he?
Amen.
And it was
Amen.
Very important because, you know, Moses was on a 40-day fast, which, you know, helped him be without sin, because if you got in sin and got before God, being that close to God, you would burn, wouldn't you? I mean, it's just the way it was. He was a very purified God. But now, in this New Testament, we can get close to God.
Amen.
Because of the new pouring. So you want to read that next
sure.
one?
Sure. Exodus 24:15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Mm-hmm. He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. And this was the day that the law was given to Israel.
So we're going to see the parallel of the Old And now in the new, in the book of Acts. Well, why don't you read the next one too, Exodus.
Okay.
32.
Exodus 32:28. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was, is because they didn't have a God, the Bible says they took their golden earrings. How many would waste all of your golden earrings? And they made a golden calf. How many would worship a cow? I would rather eat hamburgers at Burger King, wouldn't you? Man. So here they are, instead of going to Burger King, they worshiped a cow. I'm sorry. And through that, you know, God told them, don't worship that, throw it away. But guess what they did? They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen to Moses. And eventually, we know the story well, that, you know, the fire came down and, you know, and burned them, and the earth swallowed them up and all that. So we've seen that in the movies. So why don't you do the next
one? And so 3,000 people were killed that day.
But we'll see how many were saved.
So later. On the Feast of Pentecost.
Right.
About 1.5 decades later, when the disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem, the Spirit of God came upon them. And we're going to read together Acts 2:1-4.
You all know it, but we're going to read it.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
So isn't that exciting? Because this is the day of the new covenant, you know, and it's very parallel. It's on the same time that was empowered by God's Spirit. So it happened on the same time, as I said, as the Feast of Shavuot. And so when the rabbis of the Greek world had to give a Greek name to this holy day, they called it the 50th day, which means Pentecost, you know, in the Greek. So.
Okay, so we're going to read. Oh, yeah, sure. The word Pentecost means the Spirit of God was given to believers at the same day that the law of God was given to Israel. Mm-hmm. The old covenant and the new covenant were joined together as one. They were both inaugurated on the same day. And do you know what happened when the law was given? There was judgment. People perished. And the Hebrew record said there were 3,000 of them. And do you know what happened on the second Shabbat and Pentecost when the Spirit was given? In Acts 2:41, there was salvation, eternal life. And the number of those who came to new life in the Greek records was 3,000. So 3,000 died in the past, and centuries later, 3,000 were born again by the Spirit of God on that same exact holy day.
Yes, plus the 120 that were up in the room, right?
Amen.
Roughly. So that's really exciting. So, you know, just what God is doing in this time in the season. So, and Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:4 that, you know, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God.
Amen.
Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. So now every one of you have life, don't you? Yeah. Instead of judgment. So that's really good, don't you?
The law could tell us the will of God, but only the Holy Spirit can give us the power to live God's will in our life. Therefore, we live by the Spirit of God and fulfill the will of God. And once again, all of this took place, the old and the new, at these feasts. Okay, Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And in Exodus, God was demonstrated, remember, as fire. And fire means to purify and to cleanse and burn out the sinful dross, to sacrifice bold, burning, enthusiastic lightning. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, and God's Spirit is in us, and old things, our human nature, and the old desires, they pass away, and all things become new.
That's good. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and it's not on the PowerPoint, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the word quench means to subdue or suppress, mm-hmm. you know, to cover. So we don't want to do that. And so, and also the quench means to put the fire out. You now have fire in you. We don't want to put that out, do we? So when we forbid to, you know, speak in tongues, then, you know, we could extinguish, you know, part of the fire of God, can't we? So that's why it's important that we operate and flow completely in the Holy Spirit. Also, it's not in there, in Leviticus 6:12, it says, meanwhile, the fire of the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priests will have to add fresh wood to the fire. So guess what we do? We keep adding fresh fire, don't we, to the presence of God. So when God has said the fire must be never put out, guess what? You are now the new tabernacle. You are now the new temple of God. And that's what praying in tongues does. It keeps the fire lit on the altar, which causes you to be a 100% sacrifice to God. We are all completely submitted to God, aren't we? Also, fire means it purifies, and fire is an attraction. You know, as you pray in tongues, it will purify your life and draw the power of God, you know, and the power of life to you in a new way. And it's like, you know, you're fanning the flame of the Holy Spirit more. So, when you know, it's just like the wind of God. We have the Spirit, the wind of God. And I can remember that Jesus, in the book of Revelation, he says that his eyes were like flames of fire, weren't they? And we too, yes. That attracts people. You know, when we operate, you know, I go out in the marketplace, people come down and they just open up to me sometimes. So we want to make sure that we don't stay lukewarm, do we?
Amen.
No, we want to become, you know, just
fire.
The fire of God. And everyone in here, I see you are the fire of God.
Amen.
Okay, next on that.
Amen.
Where are we?
Shut off. Yeah. Oops. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was teaching the Corinthian church about the how God was writing his law upon their hearts. And we're going to read that. 2 Corinthians 3:1-2 says, Do we again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you of letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. So we're no longer talking about epistles that are written on stone. And when Moses went up to up the mountain, the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone. Can you imagine that?
What a pencil.
Yeah, someone said that was the first download from the cloud. Yeah. Yeah. So the law of God, the old covenant, was written on stones by the finger of God. Right. And you know, the first set didn't make it. Because when Moses came down from the mountain, he heard the noise. The scripture says the noise of the people. They were partying and they were worshiping the golden calf that they had built. And Moses threw those tablets and they were destroyed. So Moses had to go up and get a second set. So that was the second download. Yeah, from the cloud. But God is a merciful God. And when Moses came down off the mountain, the glory of the Lord was all over him. Mm-hmm. You could see in his life that he had been with God. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, read it with me. It says, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the hearts. So you see, God is writing his law in our hearts. It's no longer on the stone, but it's in our hearts. This is the new covenant. So as God writes his law and puts his will into our heart, we're on this journey with Jesus Christ. Jesus knows the plans that he has for our life. And so God begins to put those desires in our heart. You've probably heard the scripture that says God will give you the desires of your heart. Well, a lot of times people think that means, well, what I desire, I'm going to get. No, that means God is writing on your heart his desires. And you find out there are things you used to do, you just can't do them anymore. Right. You feel too convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire, was sent into our lives to cleanse us, to purify us. To renew our minds so that we would have a new way of walking and a new way of talking, that we would get a new attitude. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is taking us higher. And for him to take us higher, he releases the fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So God's writing in our hearts. How many have sensed God writing in their heart? You're not the same that you used to be. Because God says we are living epistles. So you see, we have these two covenants. We have the old covenant and we have the new covenant. Amen. And men were led by the law. Mm-hmm. And now we're led by the Spirit of God. We didn't do away with the law. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. But now we have the Holy Spirit. We have the covenant of the law and we have the covenant of grace. In the covenant of the law of Moses, there were 613 laws. And God, I believe through the law, showed man that we can't keep the law. No matter how hard they tried, they sinned. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to have sacrificed all those animals over and over again. And the sacrifice of those animals didn't take away their sins. It covered their sins. So a covenant. We have now the covenant of grace. Okay, I'll keep going. The covenant of grace. A covenant, this is what it is. It's an irrevocable vow. An irrevocable agreement. It's a promise between two parties to carry out what is agreed upon. A pledge, a promise. And a blood covenant is revocable only by death. And so a covenant binds us together. And we have a covenant with God. We're bound together with God. And God doesn't change the covenant, but it's by the covenant of God that he determines how he will deal with us. It's the covenant of God that determines how we will live. It's the terms of a covenant. Have you ever gone back and looked up terms of agreement when you're in your workplace? I was just talking with someone this last week regarding a situation. I said, well, can you file a grievance or something? You know, what are the terms of the policy? Have you ever gone back and looked at the policy? Well, see, that's what we do when we're looking into the Word of God. But now we look with the eyes of the Spirit. The eyes of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is writing God's law upon our hearts. And so there was two covenants, the covenant of law, which was between God and his and the Jewish people, the promised people. And now we have the covenant of grace, which is between God and Jesus Christ. The covenant of grace is determined upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So you see, this covenant is not determined upon the will of man, but what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The covenant of the law required people to perform. You have to do this to get God's blessing. You have to be good enough for God to bless you. But the covenant of grace is based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. James 2:10, let's read that together. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So the law kills. But the covenant of grace gives us life because of the life of Jesus Christ. The covenant of the law showed the lack of men's faithfulness. But the covenant of grace is all about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Do you see how God shifted the focus onto the perfect life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ? So the law would shine upon sin and continue to point out more sin. But the law of grace shines on the light and the perfection of Jesus Christ, his son. There was no sin in him. He became, what's the scripture say? Sin for us. So the law brought out man's sin in his life, but grace was given to make us holy.
Holy, amen. Pure.
Law brings condemnation. Grace gives us justification. Justification through Jesus Christ. Law kept people's sin conscious, but grace was given to us to keep us righteousness conscience. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Law covered the sin with the blood of animals, but grace takes away our sin. Let's read John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I encourage you to do that today. Don't leave this place. If you know that your life is not lined up with the will of God, Jesus gave his all. And when God sees us, he sees us through the finished work of the cross. And because Jesus gave his life, he said, He was going to send the Comforter. Is that right? The Comforter was going to come, and that was the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples to go tarry in that upper room. And so 120 of them went, men and women, praying and waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. Because God said he'd pour his Spirit out on all flesh. And it was the birthing and the coming forth of the church of Jesus Christ. We were born on that day as the Spirit of God brought life into the people. To lead them, guide them, teach them, to work through them in the earth. He said, you will receive power to be my witness. That is why we have the Holy Spirit, to witness of the goodness of God. And Apostle Leonard has more to share this morning.
Well, this is a time and a season where we're going to even release the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like the day of Pentecost. And so this is, you know, we're all going to, you know, receive that baptism of fire and that. And I got the scriptures here, and because the Bible says when you want the Holy Spirit, it's in Luke 11:9, it says, so I asked you, or I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone, everybody say everyone, who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be opened. And it goes on to say later that if a son asks for a bread from any father, would he give him a stone? No. You know, dads give a bread. Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent, a snake instead? No. Or if he asked for an egg, would he offer him a scorpion? No. You know, if then them being evil, which means human character, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to all those who ask of him? So remember, you cannot speak in English, you know, and you cannot speak in tongues at the same time. So we're only going to pray in the Spirit, and we're going to leave our English alone, which the Bible says stammering lips and unknown tongues. So why don't we, should we have everybody stand, if you would? I'm going to have you repeat this prayer. How many here have never spoken in tongues? Just hold your hand up. Okay. All right, there's some. And what we will do is we'll try to have some of our leaders try to go to those that have never spoken tongues. But it's just a, you know, it's just a, once again, you start out with a stammering lips.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. What we're going to do is you're going to repeat this prayer, and it's a scripture. You know, whosoever asks, receive. And I want you to, you're going to stop and listen about 10 seconds and then just begin to pray in the Spirit. So the prayer is, everybody say, Father.
Father,
you said,
ask,
and it will be given to you,
and it will be given.
Seek,
and you will find,
knock, and it will be open to you,
You give good gifts to your children.
I am your child. So I ask for the free gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues right now. And then just say, thank you for giving it to me, and it is mine. I receive it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to just start praying in Spirit, and in about 10 or 15 seconds, try to get those people around, look around, like Elder Ron and others, if you could go to the people who have not prayed in the Spirit. And then we're going to pray. So I'm going to begin speaking in tongues, but then in about 10, 15 seconds, I'm going to say, you go too. And you also just start out with like la, 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 or something, whatever it is. It don't matter. And then the Lord will just keep you doing it. And it's not what you think, or you have to say the right words. It's just praying in the Spirit with the stammering lips and unknown tongue. So let me just start out, and then I'm going to say go after this. Shita tara ra ra ba ka sa ka tara ra ba ka shi ka tara ra ra ba 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 ba. That's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire. Just go. Everybody, you already asked for it. You got it. It's free gift. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and just
keep worshiping
the
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, what a blessing it is. You know, one time at Revive Indiana, I released it. There were 400 people, and they were all speaking in tongues, including the Amish people. It was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and you also receive it also. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord. 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 We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. It's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit is stirring this morning. I hear the Lord say, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange. This is my gift that I have released into the world. My Spirit. My Spirit. My Spirit. As Apostle Leonard was teaching, I was thinking about, we've been studying about taming the tongue. Is that right? Yeah. The power of our words. The scripture says the tongue is an unruly member. Well, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you surrender your tongue. And it doesn't make sense to the natural mind, because that is, it is of the Spirit. It is of the Spirit of God. See, the scripture says we'll sing in the spirit and we'll sing with our mind. Sometimes we sing in the spirit. We worship you, Lord. Shia la 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 masita. Kianama. We worship you, Lord. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The disciples came upon a group of people that had been baptized. They were believers. But the question they asked them was, have you received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't heard about this Holy Ghost. And the disciples laid hands on them and they began to speak in other tongues. You see, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what the Spirit of the Lord is asking this morning. The Holy Ghost in fire. It's a gift for you. It's a gift that God uses to build His kingdom. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We worship you, 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 Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Ya la 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 masita. Everyone worshiping the Lord this morning. Ya la 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 masita. We love you, Jesus. We draw close to you, Lord, close to you. We draw close to you, Lord, close to you. Close to you, Lord, close to you. Born again by the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. We wait upon you, Lord. We wait upon you today. We wait upon you. Love you, Lord. I 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 love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Breathe on us again, Lord, fresh breath of heaven, fresh breaths of heaven. We love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We surrender to you, Lord. We surrender.